Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I want to read a verse to you out of Matthew 28. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, I'll start reading verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, you know, Judas was no longer alive, one who betrayed Jesus, went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Well, of course, but it's the next words that bothered me a little bit, but some doubted. I mean, this is 11. This is the 11 that loved him. This is 11 that followed him. And still they were skeptical, even when they saw him, to believe that he rose from the dead. Well, wouldn't you be? I would. I would be a little bit skeptical to think that something just happened that has never happened in the history of the world. Yet, I had to see him. You say, well, what about Lazarus? Lazarus was raised in his old body. He had to die again. I said, I can picture it now if that happened today. Lazarus had t-shirts, been there, done that, got the shirt. But Jesus was raised in a new body, incorruptible. He was the first fruits of those who were raised. We could see him. And they doubted. They doubted, but every one of them gave their life for what they saw that day. Every one of them went out and did what he said to do that day. Every one of them, their life had been turned around because they saw Jesus was alive. And your life will be turned around if you see him too. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That is called the Great Commission. That is seems to be the only message that Jesus had for those who saw him. And that message was go out and teach and talk about what I taught and talked about so that people can have life. I was thinking all week about St. Patrick and how disappointed he must be. He lived in 385 AD after Christ. Good man, a godly man, loved the Lord, took the gospel into Ireland, and did just what the Bible says, teach them. And Ireland had a major conversion rate. And they would thank the Lord for St. Patrick that came and showed them the way. Move ahead 1,600 years, 1,300 years, 1,200 years from that point. Church is practicing Lent during the time from Ash Wednesday till Easter. People are asked to fast during that time, showing their body, getting their body into submission so that they realize they're not a body possessing a soul. They're a soul that possesses a body. So take control of the body. That was not a bad thing. So they would give up. We've done it here a few times. I remember Paul Sayre, bless his heart. I forget what you gave up, Paul. Meat?
Bread.
He gave up bread. And we went golfing in South Carolina. And he had just had all his teeth pulled. And he couldn't eat bread. Matter of fact, there wasn't anything he could eat where we stopped for 3-4 days. And I felt sorry for him. I didn't even think about, you know, insure or anything like that back then, Paul. But fasting is not a bad thing. It helps us understand who we really are. But 1,300 years passed, they said, you know what? We need a break during this Lenten season. So we're going to make one day where whatever you're fasting, you don't have to fast. You can break that fast and you can eat whatever you want to eat. And since that point, St. Patrick's Day has become nothing but a drunken holiday. As people would give up alcohol, then they go back to it. Someone put on the internet yesterday that Chicago dyed their river green. I wrote, that's nothing. Our lake turns green on its own. Well, it's true. Sometimes you just got to deal with it. Just as St. Patrick's Day has got away from the real meaning of who St. Patrick was, an evangelist, and became a party day, the church has left what we call evangelism and the Great Commission on the side of the road. Because we want a feel-good religion. We want a religion that doesn't confront us where we're at. We want a religion, after all, everyone needs something that God has to offer. And if we put a restriction on it, everybody's not going to get it. Jesus never taught everyone was going to get it. But we as a church are demanded and commissioned to witness. I read a story about a barber that is a good Christian man, and he was studying how to witness, and he didn't know how to witness. This came up at one of our ministers' meetings that we have here at the church. And one of the ministers said, I'd like to do evangelism. I just don't know how. And he said, could anybody give me any pointers? And I just handed him a card. I said, it's very simple. Has your name on it, has a church on it, and say, you know what? You're the kind of people we're looking for. What kind's that? Breathing? That's what we want. And you'd be very welcome. And if you stop breathing, we're going to carry you out. But there was this barber, and he wanted to do more evangelism. He'd heard a minister preach on it, and he thought, I need to do that. So he studied and studied, and he went to workshop after workshop. Finally, one day in the barber shop, he said, Lord, just send somebody in that I can witness to. And here came in this motorcycle guy with this long hair and this beard and these tattoos. And he said, oh, my goodness. Okay, Lord, I'll witness. So the guy gets in the chair, and he ties a thing around, and he said, now why did you come in? He said, because I lost a bet and I need to get my beard shaved. So he lathered him all up and put it all over his face. He took his razor out and got the strap and was sharpening his razor. And he said, Lord, give me courage. And he just kept sharpening that razor until finally he got the courage, and he put it up to the man like this, and he said, Do you know what would happen to you if you died right now? Now, I wouldn't suggest we go out and do that. But at least he was trying. Back in the day, they called ministers evangelists. Many of us are old enough to have been to evangelistic meetings, tent meetings. Billy Sunday had tabernacles built all over the country where they could just walk in. It was a cheap building. They threw it up. It had sawdust on the instead of carpet, and it just had wooden planks for benches. D.L. Moody preached all over the country. And we hear of great evangelistic meetings that went on back before many of us were even alive. Some of us had the privilege of visiting and going to some of those. But evangelism today has come to a position where we don't want to do it. And I tried to figure out for me why. Maybe it's because we are too judgmental, or maybe it's because we see people that are out there doing it and they're so bad at it that we don't want to identify with them. I remember when I was working my job and traveling around the country, I had this one person in the company, and he was a Christian, and he just started ridiculing everybody at the table, and he said, "Fry, you're a Christian, isn't this right?" I said, "I'm a Christian, but I'm not that kind. I'm not that kind." There is a way to invite people to Christ, and the Bible is clear on how to do that. But we're afraid to talk about religion. Because after all, you don't talk religion or politics. Well, since when have they give up talking politics? It's talked everywhere. And I'm not talking about your denomination. I'm not talking about your religious stance. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ that is very attractive to everyone that's outside these walls that don't know him. But we're not very good at showing people who Jesus is. Ministers today have been misled. I thank the Lord for the seminary I attended and some of you attended. But many seminaries are just filled with philosophy classes. And then they discuss it, heaven or afterlife. They discuss it in metaphors and images. There's no frame of reference for the discussion about heaven or hell. And they teach that the images of hell come mostly from Dante's Inferno, not from the Bible. And the idea of the devil comes from Milton's Paradise Lost. So it's very easy for me as a minister want to say, I don't want to talk about punishment. I don't want to talk about hell, even though the Bible talks about it. Do I want to say it? Do I enjoy talking about it? No, I don't enjoy talking about eternal punishment. The problem is today that most people believe if they're good, they'll go to heaven. Or if they do good things, they'll go to heaven. There was a poll taken, and over 50% of the people in this country that we live in believe that good works gets them there. Good works will not even get you out of your pew. Jesus didn't come and die so that you could just have good works. Jesus came and died so you could have eternal life. The Bible says he came that we might have eternal life. Sometimes our concept of hell, I think, is misleading, because the Bible doesn't say a lot about it. It says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've done that here on this earth. There was a show that was on, Twilight Zone, remember that? This is for all you people that are my people. Back in the 60s, and there was this man, he was a gambler, big time gambler, and he died. And he went to this great big casino. He had the best room in the house. Every time he put a quarter in a slot machine, he won. Every time he sat down at one of the tables, he won. The food was the best they could have. Pretty soon he got tired of winning and the chance wasn't there. And at the end of the show, he went up to, supposed to be St. Peter, and he said, "If this is heaven, I don't want it. I want to go the other place." He said, "You're at the other place." Let me give you just a concept. When we choose eternal things on earth, we get eternal things in heaven. Could it be that when we choose temporal things on earth, we get only temporal things hereafter? Things that will not satisfy, things that we're totally bored with, things that we want out of as soon as we can get out of them. You say, well, that's an easier hell than what the Bible talks about it is. And I believe the Bible. I believe it's a real place. Heaven is not a reward for a good life. Heaven is a gift of God. Heaven is what Jesus came for. But can people see Jesus Christ in you? If they can't see Jesus Christ in you, your evangelism efforts, your speaking won't mean a thing. And then those of you who are real Christians won't want to identify with those people that are just out judging and pointing at people. See, here's the problem with good works. There's a little boy, 9 years old, and he came into his mother, and he said, "Guess what? I'm now 6 foot tall." She said, "You're 6 foot tall, really? How did you get that?" He said, "I took my shoe off, and I laid down, and I measured how long I was, and then I took my feet, and I'm 6 foot tall." She said, "But your shoe is not a foot long." He said, "It is too. My foot fits in it." Logical, but he didn't know the standard of weights and measures. Logical for the world out there to think that if they're good enough, they'll get to heaven. So they think they're going to heaven. So they believe in a heaven. But just because it's logical does not make it true. So if they already want to go to heaven, what's wrong with telling them the true way to get there? I used to have a lot of salesmen that worked for me. And many times after we'd have a sales meeting, someone would come up and say, "Mr. Fry, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." And you know what I'd say? "It's not your job to lead him to water. It's your job to make him thirsty." When we witness, people need to see something in us that they want. They need to see a peace that passes all understanding in their life that they're drawn to. They need to see someone that is not judgmental, but someone that actually loves them, in that while they are yet sinners, the same way that Jesus Christ loved them. That's why we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal. We're trying to show them the kingdom rather than the world. I want to read to you a story that I believe that is very fitting, and I can't just tell you the story because I just want to read it to you. Came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen. Hear that, Eric? Called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many fish in the waters around them. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes and filled with fish. And the fish were hungry. Week after week, month after month, year after year, those who called themselves fishermen would meet in meetings and talk about their call to fish, the abundance of the fish, how they might go about fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing means, defended fishing as an occupation, and declared that fishing is always to be a primary task of a fisherman. Continually, they searched for new and better methods of fishing, for new and better definitions of fishing. Fishermen built a large, beautiful building called the fishing station. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman, and every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, they didn't fish. After one stirring meeting at the fishing station on the necessity of fishing, one young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. The next day he reported that he caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and scheduled to visit all at the big meeting possible to tell how he did it. So he quit fishing in order to have time to tell about the experience to other fishermen. Imagine how hurt some were when one day, a person suggested that those who don't catch fish really aren't fishermen, no matter how much they claim to be. Yet it did sound correct. If a person, a fisherman, if year after year he never catches a fish, is one really following? Is he really a fisherman? Jesus said, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That isn't just for preachers. That's for everyone. But you got to go fishing. You must witness. How do we do it? Well, one, you can offer to pray for a non-Christian when they're going through a troubled time. You ever work with somebody if their husband died or their wife died or their son was sick in the hospital? You just lay your hand on their shoulder and say, "Can I pray for you?" That's really a good way to witness. Matter of fact, that's how many of you got into church. Then there's what we call lifestyle evangelism, living a life that's clean, proper, that people look at and say, how can they do that in this world? Why can't they get tied up in these fun things? Because I'm having so much fun serving the Lord that I don't want to take time out for those dumb things the world's doing. Or you can start a discussion. You can talk about some way moral and spiritual matters in a non-judgmental way and listen to them, see where they're at, to see if you can add something that would cause them to want to talk about Jesus Christ. Or sometimes it's a moral confrontation. The problem is we do those with the wrong people. Moral confrontation would be someone that you love and someone that loves you and someone that you're not going to fall out with afterwards. It isn't an acquaintance. It isn't somebody that you're sitting beside in a restaurant. And it isn't somebody, acquaintance that you work with. You can also give literature to people. We have a track rack back there for tracts that you can pass out. We have cards. Get some cards made up. You can use our church name. Put your name on it. Say you're invited to church and to lunch. Pass them out. You say, well, I don't have money for my own lunch. How am I going to have money for their lunch? I don't know. Maybe cook. You'll never put lunch on there. Come to church. Sit with me. I'll introduce you to the pastor. Pass them out. We can all be a witness, and we're not doing a real good job at it. In the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Charles Spurgeon said, we are stuttering. You get that? The world wants to know who he is. It isn't a bad choice. I made it. It's not a bad choice. You made it. It's a good choice. And you say, but the people I work are all educated. We have a lot of educated people here. They chose it. Well, the people that I work with, preacher, you don't know how low they are. You don't know how low Paul the Apostle was. When Oliver Cromwell was leading England, they had a money shortage. So he sent out a group of people looking for silver in order to pay the debt, in order to get things going and moving again. And they searched high and low all through England. They came back a month later and they said, we found no silver. The only silver we found were in the church. The statues of the saints. You know what he said? And I kind of liked it. Let's melt down the saints and put them into circulation. Isn't it a high time we melt down the saints and put them into circulation? Isn't it high time that we as fishers of men, Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. How many have you caught? But preacher, I don't know anyone to invite. Then look at a phone book, or we used to have phone books. We don't have them anymore. Go on Facebook and invite everyone with private message that's your friend to come visit with you at church. Tell them Easter's coming. Matter of fact, everyone's looking for church during Easter. Tell them to come next Sunday and beat the crowd. We need to melt down the saints and get them into circulation. Because Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You believe it? Let's go fishing.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.